The South African Jewish Board of Deputies is the organization that engages with the South African government on behalf of the Jewish community. Join Cherise Zephyr for the next hour to find out what the SAJBD has been up to. 101.9 High FM.
On Monday, the 3rd of July, 2023, Professor Snaphan Solmers and I sat in a classroom at Hanyani Secondary School in Sapeese in the Vemba District in Limpopo Province. The headmaster of the school, Mr. Ndu, and members of the governing body, UJ and the SAJBD, were meeting to discuss the establishment of a learning center, Nga Chimisano. The impact of this learning center has been huge. Professor Funsome is now my guest to talk about both this and how UJ got involved in the region. Professor, welcome and thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Cherise. Yes, thank you.
I should say that you are Associate Professor and Head of Department at the Faculty of Engineering and the Built Environment at UJ. And one of the many things you are involved in is engineering and community engagement projects within rural communities. And I think Kwakwani fits this extremely well. How long have you and UJ been involved in this project?
So, Cherise, I joined UJ in 2015. The project was ongoing by then. So my colleague, Prof. Johan Meyer, he started the project in 2014. So the project has been going on for more than 10 years now. When I joined UJ, I kind of, started to join them on their visits to Kwakwane. So we've been busy in that area for a very long time. It started in Kwakwane. So it started with simply water. There were no water or sustainable water, I should say, in the area. And it's since grown from water. You've been there. There's been a few news articles. It started from water. Now we've got ECD centers. We branched out into some agriculture assistance. There's a bakery, everything until, you also got involved at the high school where we assisted the students with the library. So we branched out from simply water. We're still doing water there because the need is great. But yeah, over the 10, 11 years, started small, but then it kind of grew. Yes.
Professor, you speak about Professor Johan Meyer, and I think maybe just describe to our listeners how rural it is. And I just remember in this last trip, in fact, it was last Thursday that we were sitting there by the Hanyani School, and Prof. Meyer took me to see the ECD Center, which we'll talk about in a second. And he was saying, like, there were no road signs. We're on a dust road. You need a 4x4 to get there. And he was saying it's muscle memory now as to how he gets there. But if he had to try and describe it to somebody, there's no actual way of knowing it. So do you want to just talk to you a little bit about the kind of how remote it is?
Yeah, so Cherise, so I wish I could show you or the listeners my Google Maps. I've dropped like breadcrumbs. Now I know it, but when we started, and my breadcrumbs read left at big tree, right at intersection, rock with tree, go past rock with tree. That's our road signs. We've got the left, right tree, and we've got the little, the bridge over the river. So that's our road signs. And maybe to put it into numbers for your listeners, Kwakwane is about 14 kilometers from the nearest tar road. Okay, so it's deep, deep rural. In many cases, when we speak rural, people think they understand. They say, "Yeah, it's like Deep Sluit or Orange Farm." It's not. It's deep, deep rural. When we got to that area, there were no Eskom wasn't there. Eskom came just before COVID, I think, in 2019. No municipal water. There's only municipal boreholes, so no water infrastructure. Limited cell phone signal. So when you're 14 kilometers from the nearest tar road, they're about 16 kilometers from the nearest clinic, about 16 kilometers from the nearest petrol station, and the nearest town is about Messina. It's about 30 k's away. So it's deep, deep, deep rural. It's not your standard just outside, town type of thing. Dust roads, no, almost almost no infrastructure. And we've had many conversations where service providers say the return on investment is just not there. To assist those towns with 1,000 odd people, return on investment is just too little. So deeply, deeply rural, but a deeply rich environment, I would say, and people. So it's a really interesting, lovely place to work.
You talk about investment. I mean, I know that UJ has been questioned why that project and who has a specific interest, as if there was some kind of, personal gain to be gotten from it. But yet, in such a rural area, the smallest things can make the biggest difference. And I think that's what is so clear to me about the UJ investment in Gwakwani.
100%. And I stretch that to everybody we talk to who wants to do something. I'm like, we are not talking big investments. Really, really, we've had cases where somebody sponsored, there's already a borehole drilled, for example, by a municipality. Somebody just sponsored the equipment, to solarize that borehole, and it provides water to a whole community where they do not have access to other water. The impact you can make with not a lot is in it is insane. To just talk about the environment. So when we started the project in Kwakwane, there was one of our previous professors who was at UJ. He had family in this area, in the Vembe area, and industry came to UJ and they said, oh, we want to show impact of technology. Do they know an area to do this? And the professor said, I know a place where technology can make a difference. So it wasn't a random dart that was thrown. It was a professor at UJ who had family there, and he took the first group of UJ people and, chatted to the chief and the community, and they started, this collaboration. But as simple things, I mean, the Jewish Board of Deputies sponsored satellite internet. I think we'll probably talk about it. But how just access to internet at a high school can make the biggest difference in pass rates at a school, where I think it jumped from 52 to 94 or something. I don't have the stats, don't quote me on it, 92%, I think. Within 2 years of just having access to computers and an internet, that's the library that you've sponsored. It's put it down here, I don't think it'll make a big difference. There, it changed the whole landscape of how that school operates. Absolutely. It's absolutely wonderful to see what an impact investments can make and how people protect it. Yeah. Sorry, I
No,
interrupted
no, no, no. I mean,
you.
I just want to. I mean, we'll talk about that the school a little bit more, but I also just want to talk about the knock-on effect that it had, that the pass rate went up so high, and that it resulted in the project that we were there for last Thursday. And I don't know if you want to talk about like the knock-on effect of something as small as.
Sure. And I mean, even to get to the high school. So if I can go one step back, we were in Kwakwane, and then we drove past the high school. Our dean visited Kwakwane, and he said, "I just want to see." Oh, we told them the kids walk 14 kilometers to school. He's like, "It can't be right. You're wrong." And we're like, "Okay, prof, let's start in Kwakwane. Put your odometer on zero." And we drove to the high school, and we showed him it was 14 kilometers. We stopped at the gate, and he's like, I just want to go and see what's inside, because this is the school where the kids go. That's how we were introduced to the high school, just because the Kwakwane kids walked this far. We started chatting to the headmaster there, a lovely, lovely headmaster, and he's just like, oh, you work in Kwakwane, why don't you come and work here, because I've got 500 kids in my school. And so he convinced us. We started with the library because the pass rate went higher. Our vice chancellor, Prof. Mpedi, then had a conversation with sponsors from APSA, and he said, yeah, but we're busy school, and We assisted, or we worked with SHABD, and we put down the library, and they had a pass rate of, in the past it was like 25%. It jumped to 52. Now it's 94. But the kids walk 14 kilometers to school, and APSA says we can do something about it. And then Quebeca came on board, and they sponsored the 130, I think 34 bicycles for the kids to ride to school, the grade 11s. And if it goes well, then hopefully next year's grade 11s can also be assisted with a bike. So it just it's such a wonderful thing, because I mean, we started with a borehole. 10 years later, kids are riding bicycles to school. They've got internet. We've got internet in all of the four villages now, where people have got access. There's a community center in Mbodi. They did eye tests. I mean, kids at the primary school and the high school are getting glasses if they cannot see. Simply because this circle, it's this pebble, and the ripples just went wider and wider. So I don't think we're stopping anytime soon as well. It's amazing.
Do you know what struck me at the ceremony last week, but also our meeting? For me, that meeting that we had together with the principal and the school governing body sticks in my mind because it was so community focused. And the name of the school was decided by the community, by the school governing body. And I remember the head of the body standing up and right, in fact, I still got the picture, writing on the board.
The board here.
We've got this choice, and this is what it means. And we've got this choice, and everybody having the buy-in. And back to the ceremony, like the fact that the police spoke, the fact that everybody was vested. The traffic department spoke, and my vendor, unfortunately, is particularly poor. But from what was said, and the reaction is how they cared for the school, for the bicycles, for the learners. The responsibility that the learners needed to take for this bicycle, I think, was really pushed on them, and how it just brings that community together. The chiefs were there, the chiefs from different villages were there. I didn't really understand much of what was happening, but I saw they all had the picture of the very young chief from the village there. It was just such a sense of bringing people together.
Charisse, and I tell people this and they don't believe me. In my 11 years of working there, we had not had a theft of anything. We had one or two broken panels where kiddies were th throwing stones on the roof, right? We do not, people can't believe it. They say, yeah, these things are going to get stolen. Nothing. We had a borehole, the first borehole we did in Mbodi, when there was absolute drought. The community, the men, they took turns and they slept next to the borehole at night, because they say it's now our responsibility. We must take care of it. They were there. They helped us install it, but they slept there at night simply because, simply because they realize the value of it. And I think that's exactly what you say, is the traffic department's there, the police is there, the community is invested. And we went to the chief beforehand in Quebeca, particularly. They asked for the blessing of the chief to tell the people in the villages to take care of these kids. They're our future. And to when they see a bike and it's not with their kid, to report it, so that it's not just a kid having a bicycle, it's the whole community working together to get these kids a better education. I just think it's absolutely fabulous. Like I said, people have embraced the people there. It's such a wonderful collaboration, and people embrace UJ when they come. And like I said, they take care of everything. And I think the same, or I know the same will happen to these bicycles. We'll get there at the end of the year or early next year, and these bicycles will still be, used by the kids, and we're gonna go for another round. It's lovely.
Prof, we have, I think, time, because it would be such a pity not to talk about your crowning, your delight of Kwakwani and the EDC Center, ECD Center, apologies.
ECD, yeah. So the Early Childhood Development Center, we put it was in one of the chats that we had with the chief, and we asked him, what more do you need? It was after we kind of sorted out some water issues, And one of the things he said is there's not a ECD center or a creche in the Matatani area. It was, I remember it so well. It was on a Monday, and the Department of Social Development had a little truck, and they parked under the tree. It's a mobile creche, and they put out little tables under the tree with little blackboards, and they had the creche there on Mondays, and moms and gogos brought the little kiddies. And they said it's only on Mondays because they do other villages in the other days. And it was this thing where these kids come to learn, but they can only do it on Mondays. And the chief said there's a real need for somebody to take care of the kids in the community, and also to, make them ready for school. So when they get to primary school, that they're ready. And the chief gave us land. It was an old plot where there was a shop or a house. So it was just a concrete slab. And we had buy-in from so many industry sponsors, as well as so many department or faculties in the university. And it's the most beautiful creche. The community did everything needed to register it as an ECD center. We didn't do it. There's three ladies employed. They are registered with the Department of Social Development. They get a teaching grant. There's 24 kids now. They get their breakfast there, they get the snack there, they get lunch there, and then at about 2, 3 in the afternoon, they go home. There's water, there's internet now because it's close to the mobile clinic. It's just the most beautiful thing where there's kids learning. And it was dust, it was nothing. Now we've got grass, artificial grass, the most beautiful purple and orange roof, two containers, a little kitchen. And the SAJBD gave the most astounding one. I don't know if it's your listeners, Cherise, but if it is, I want to thank the community because they gave the most beautiful donations. I mean, it's not you sometimes we get donations and it's these old things that somebody just want to throw away, but this wasn't. It was the most beautiful toys and learning, things, puzzles, posters, soft toys, so well taken care of. And the teacher screamed when she opened those boxes. That place has my heart because there's 24 little kids who are learning, who's got a foot up when they go to primary school because of that place, and it's so beautiful. So yes,
So
so it's a wonderful thing.
I think I said it to you at the time because it's like literally a little oasis surrounded by baobab trees. That's pretty much it,
Yes.
and it's such a happy little place, and the kids were so cute and so happy and so excited. And it's clear they don't get visitors often because they were like, oh my gosh. And what struck me, and I said to you then, is what amazes me about your team, Professor, is that not only do you put in solar, not only do you put in containers, but you painted, you've kind of done, you've done everything, like lights and drawings and toilets and pictures. And it's incredible, actually, how when you take on a project, you take it to its absolute maximum. I will tell you about the donations. So we did, because for me it's really important that this be community to community. And it wasn't just about donating goods. So we did put out a call out on our social media specifically for this project, because I feel it's really, really important that the communities connect in a meaningful way than just the board giving money. And while we did get a lot of new things and people dropped off crayons and colouring in, the biggest donation came from King David Linksfield Pre-Primary School. And I just think it really is amazing and so generous. And I got a real thrill seeing it hanging out there in Matatani. So it was really, really great to be part of that project. And I just want to thank you and your team for letting us be part of this, because it does feel like you're making such an important difference.
Sorry, my dog's barked. Oh, Cherise, thank you. And thank you for your community. And oh my goodness, the dogs are chiming in. But I think we also learned, we're engineers. And at first we like We can screw in a light bulb, and we can put up a solar panel to do something. But we soon realized that we work with people. We are people, and we're working with people. And as we got to know each other, it just grew into everything from light bulb to painting to puzzles to lights. Because it's an holistic thing, and we soon realized that you can't just drop a solar pump and leave, because it touches a community and it touches people and it touches kids. And we realized it the hard way. There was some stuff that didn't work, and some of these things have just worked perfectly, like the ECD center. But I think we also fell in love with this place. So you can't just drop and run. We can't do it. And we encourage everybody else, when they come, we're like, this is our community, and we all take part of it. We go to the chief every single time, and he tells us about what's happening, and we tell him, what we want to do, and he tells us what they need. And I think that's why things are working. I think that's why our interventions, it's not an intervention from outside, it's a collaboration. And I think that's why it's working, because it's 100% a collaborative thing. But I can also say, and also to your listeners and your community, UJ is not in the business of doing these things in rural places just because. We're not a charity, we're a university. So we do it to teach our students, right? So it's a wonderful learning opportunity for our students, because they go and work in the real world. But we're not funded to do it. I can't use my teaching funds to book a trip to Kokwane. I need to get those funds from different streams. Yes, I teach the students, but I don't have funds to buy solar panels for borehole. I get that from industry sponsors. So 12 years worth of work would have been absolutely impossible if we didn't get buy-in from industry and communities. We've had so many wonderful, generous sponsors over the years, your community included. And we're the hands. We drive there and we get on the ladder, but impossible. Impossible without the support of community and industry partners. So I want to thank your community as well, for everything that you've done, because it is impossible without you guys.
Well, thank you. We're going to leave it on that note. And thank you so much for
Perfect.
joining me. That is Professor Sine van Solms, and she is Associate Professor and Head of Department at the Faculty of Engineering and the Built Environment at UJ.
Thanks, Cherise.